Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A jury in Washington, D.C. has decided Rudy Giuliani must pay two Georgia election workers almost $150 million in damages. The former mayor of New York City and Trump attorney was already found guilty of defaming the women. CBS's Michael George has more on the verdict tied to lies about the 2020 election.
After deliberating for about 10 hours, a jury awarded Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss $148 million in damages, payable by Rudy Giuliani. That's more than triple the amount asked for by their lawyer.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
Giuliani repeatedly said he would take the stand, but never did, and his attorney presented no case.
Giuliani says he will appeal. The Israeli military says it mistakenly killed three Israeli hostages in battle-torn part of Gaza. BBC's Mike Thompson reports.
Since the war in Gaza began, the Israeli military has dedicated itself to bringing the hostages home. Now the bodies of three of them have been returned, killed by the soldiers sent to save them. The IDF said that after mistakenly being identified as a threat, the three had been fired on. Only later were their identities discovered. In a statement, the IDF expressed its deep remorse over the incident and sent the families of those killed its heartfelt condolences.
CBS's Stacey Lynn reports on the sentencing for the mother of a boy who police say shot his Newport News, Virginia elementary school teacher earlier this year.
Deja Taylor was sentenced to 5 years in prison with 3 years suspended for felony child neglect. It was a harsher punishment than the 6 months prosecutors and Taylor's lawyers had agreed to in a plea deal. Her attorney earlier this month.
I don't think that took into account her being the victim of domestic abuse. Her mental health issues.
Her son was accused of shooting his first grade teacher, Abby Zwerner. Prosecutors say her gun was used in that shooting.
I just respectfully disagree with Judge Papillo.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
There apparently were some quality control problems at Moderna's main factory, CBS's Alexander Tin reports.
According to a Reuters report, Moderna, one of the manufacturers of the COVID-19 vaccines, was faulted by FDA inspectors back in September for some lapses in its verification processes for quality control, including reportedly falling short and taking extra measures to ensure that expired materials weren't used in making its vaccines.
The Congressional Budget Office projects lower inflation and higher unemployment into 2025. On Wall Street today, stocks closed mostly higher. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Wendy's Peppermint Frosty and Frosty Cream Cold Brew make the perfect gift for anyone in your life. Especially for you. Yeah, this year you're sitting on your own lap and getting yourself what you want, finally. And if you need a little more pep in your step, get yourself a refreshing Peppermint Frosty Cream Cold Brew. Or you can give it to your mom. Whatever.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Vanilla Frosty is temporarily unavailable.
We're making spirits bright at the JCPenney Super Saturday Sale. Hurry in store this Saturday for a coupon giveaway while they last. You could get $10, $100, or even $500 off your entire purchase. Doors open at 9 a.m. so you have more time to shop thousands of doorbusters store-wide. Discover can't-miss deals on top brands like Adidas, Levi's, Disney, and Cuisinart. Wrap up your list in one easy trip. JCPenney. Make your holidays count. Coupons valid on select styles 12/16 only. Exclusions apply. Giveaway in store only. Must be 18 or older. See store or jcp.com for details.
While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers' A.J. Dillon is injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' popular running back, A.J. Dillon, is dealing with a broken thumb. It happened on one of the final plays against the Giants on Monday. That means that Patrick Taylor will get more snaps at running back, but he's made some mistakes getting out of bounds to save time on the clock.
As a running back, your coach preaches, like, you know, fighting for extra yards and things like that. It's extremely hard not to stay in bounds and start to try to fight for extra yards, but in situations such as that one, with it being about like 24 seconds left. Got to get out of bounds right there.
The Badgers basketball team won at home against Jacksonville State 75-60. Greg Gard on Jacksonville's head coach, Ray Harper.
You know, Jacksonville, I don't think we give enough credit for how they tried to play us. Really jamming things up, gapping up, sending the double team. You know, and Coach Harper's been doing it for a long time. So you could just watch how, watching film, we were going to have to really work.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight. There could be a little drizzle at times and lows close to 40. More clouds for tomorrow, some rain developing in the afternoon, highs to the mid-40s. And a mostly cloudy day for Sunday, again in the mid-40s. A few rain and snow showers Sunday night. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke, unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And frankly, it's hard to decide which are the most important stories of so many of them. I'll tell you where I'm going to start. I'm going to start with the undisclosed, heretofore undisclosed tape recordings of a sneaky conversation in the White House in December of 2020. It just came out. CNN was the one who revealed it. And it involves Chesbro, the cheese man, Chesbro. Chesbro is the crooked lawyer who entered into a plea deal in Fannie Willis's case in Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County. He's now cooperating with attorneys general in Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, and Wisconsin. Cooperating in Washington, D.C. with Jack Smith. This guy is facing a lot of problems, even though he cut a deal down in Georgia. But it turns out he revealed in one of his disclosures to the Michigan Attorney General, and somebody in that office leaked it, which is their prerogative. He has no rights to it at all, no privacy rights to it at all, so it's their prerogative. A lot of prosecutors won't leak stuff, but this guy, whoever it was, did. And here's what it is. In December of 2020, there was a meeting in the White House of lawyers for Trump. Chesbro was there, Troupas was there, there were a number of others. And there was a ceremonial photo that they were all taking with Trump. But prior to the ceremonial photo, they all had a meeting. And in that meeting, this was something, I have no idea who taped it. I have no idea. No one had any idea that Nixon's secretary and Nixon were taping things back in 1973 and 4 either. But somebody taped it, and I heard audio of it yesterday, and you can hear it on the internet. And they were discussing whether or not this Green Bay sweep idea, that somehow using crooked electors to flip the election, that was under discussion. And Troupas apparently said, no, you shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it because we should just pursue legal. In other words, go to the courts. And their arguments in the courts, by the way, were frivolous and crooked themselves. They were hoping for some kind of a judge, let's say a judge like Mercedes down in Mar-a-Lago, with this guy, Kaczmarek, up in Amarillo, Texas, who just knee-jerk go with the Republican Party no matter what. They were trying to find somebody like that. And, however, they had a problem. They pursued it in about 60 different courts with Trump-appointed judges, Obama-appointed judges, George W. Bush-appointed judges. I think in one or two cases, George H.W. Bush-appointed judges, Clinton-appointed judges. And they got skunked, 60 to nothing. Everybody said that there was not the kind of fraud that changes an election at all. Parenthetically, most of the fraud were things like Republicans owning two homes, and they vote in their cottage, and then they, in the county that their cottage is in, like, say, Door County, then they vote in Milwaukee, for instance, or Chicago. So it made no difference in the election itself. However, Chesbro argued that there was another way, and he's the guy that wrote the memo. He's the guy that wrote the memo, and then Eastman weighed in on it as well. Eastman was the guy that came up with the theory. It's essentially kind of a Rutherford Hayes, Sam Tilden theory from 1876. In other words, the heck with who the states want to be president. Just say there's doubt, throw it into the House of Representatives. Pence should throw it in the House of Representatives. And the anomaly in the Constitution is, if that's what happens, each state gets one vote. Each state gets one vote. That was in the Constitution because the slaveholding states, the Virginias and the others, didn't want to be outnumbered in electoral votes by the Massachusetts and the New Yorks and the Pennsylvania, you know, the more mercantile in those days and then subsequently industrial states. Well, if that had happened, if Pence had said, I'm in doubt, pulls it right out of thin air, but he said, I'm in doubt. If Pence had said that, I'm going to throw it in the House of Representatives, they would have jumped up and said, yeah, yeah, that's right. Problem is, there are 50 states, and a majority of them have Republican delegations to the Congress. By that, I mean majority delegations. So Wisconsin. Wisconsin has two senators, one Democratic, one Republican. It has eight congressmen, members of Congress, House of Representatives, six of them Republican, two Democrat. So the delegation, the electoral vote delegation in Wisconsin, there are 10 people, the eight members of Congress, the two senators. Three of them are Democrats and seven Republicans. So they would have met, said, let's take a vote. How are we going to cast our one vote for Wisconsin? And 7-3, they would have said Trump. Now, California has something like 56 congressmen and two senators. They have 58 electoral votes. They'd get together and say, we cast ours for Biden, but they'd have one vote. And the way that comes out is that a majority of the votes in the House, if you only gave one vote to each state, other than the, instead of the electors, Trump would have been reinstated. And some of them, and Chesbro pushed for this too, it should simply be that Pence would go, I'm in doubt, doesn't even have to go in the House, Trump's president and stays in there. That, of course, would mean that Pence himself would have had a job for four more years, even though he lost also. Well, there was a heck of an argument about this, and Trump weighed in. Now, Trump did not listen to Troopas. He did not listen to the people who said, try the legal means. You know, for instance, in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court extended the deadline for receipt of absentee ballots as long as they were postmarked before the election. They had to be postmarked before the election. Before, the statute had said they had to be received before the election. The problem was with COVID. Remember, November 2020. The vaccines didn't even become widely available until about January of 2021. And you also had the post office shredding mail sorters and all of that. And so the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said it's reasonable under our Constitution to permit people to vote if their vote, their ballot, absentee, shows a postmark before the election. That's all we care about. And then it has to be received in a certain time period after. The Trump people said that's illegitimate because the statute said it has to be received by the election day. But the Pennsylvania Constitution clearly gives the Pennsylvania Supreme Court the right to adjust that kind, those kinds of deadlines in the event of public exigency. And that's what they did. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is elected. It's not appointed, it's elected. So that dispute went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The six tarantulas, in those days, I think there were six tarantulas at that point. Six tarantulas even, unanimously, they go, no, we're not going to overturn Pennsylvania. If their Supreme Court said this is what the Pennsylvania Constitution demands, then that's for them to decide. And that's exactly right. Well, Trump was going, oh, no, this is, quote, fraud, end quote. It wasn't fraud at all. The other instance of fraud was here, he said, here in Wisconsin, our rules say that for assisted living folks, elderly folks, somebody has to come, some commissioner has to come, some sort, and administer the votes. In other words, bring the ballots in, the elderly people come up, they line up, they vote, and then the person doing it notarizes it, and it's sent in. Well, you couldn't get into an old folks home in November of 2020. Are you kidding me? There were pictures of spouses going and trying to kiss somebody through the window because they wouldn't even let family in, or they'd hold up a new baby that just got born outside the window. Wisconsin Election Commission, which has the right to do it, 6-0, including all three Republicans, including Spindell, who turned out to be a fake elector himself. All six of them said, hey, well, the old folks have got to vote. You can't physically get in to see them. We'll mail them absentee ballots like anyone else. And they did. And the elderly people filled them out, mail them back, just like you or I would do. You know, why is this different at all? Anyway, Trump said, oh, fraud, because of Racine County. Racine County, fraud. Well, I got news for you. That was thrown out by all the courts. That was thrown out. But Chesbro realized, unlike Troupas, maybe Troupas did realize it, there's no way that they're going to overturn this thing in the courts. The courts, including Republican judges, have said no way. So he came up with the sneaky way. This is on tape. This is on tape. It's in the hands of all prosecutors. It has been told to all prosecutors. And I'll tell you something else. It's not clear to me if Chesbro is doing this because he has immunity, or Chesbro is doing this pursuant to a proffer. Proffer is separate. Lawyer goes to the prosecutor and goes, my guy has a lot of good stuff to say for you. And the prosecutor says, okay, go ahead and tell me. And we'll agree we won't use it if we don't give him immunity. But you've got to interest me a little bit. You can't just pull this out of thin air. If it's a proffer, maybe they'll give him immunity, maybe they won't. But I'm going to leave you with one thing. It's imperative that Josh Call prosecute the fake electors in the state, including Chesbro, including Ron Johnson, including Voss, and including Fitzgerald. And if he doesn't want to do all of them, do many of them, do as many as he's willing to do. But Chesbro has to have his feet kept to the fire. He snuck out with an immunity deal in Atlanta, Georgia, where he didn't even, I mean, this guy doesn't even look contrite. And he got probation. And so that's what happened down there. That tape, you got to listen to that tape. You've got to listen to that tape. Jen Psaki was interviewing people about it. You'll have no difficulty finding it, but it's an absolutely dynamite tape. Coming up. Tell you what, the Tuberville still is doing his damage to our military.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna...
The Shaw, WAUK, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Are open 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you Tommy Tuberville's skullduggery. You know his skullduggery. You know a lot about his skullduggery. The Senate yesterday passed a bill. Remember something. They not only had confirmed every promotion, military promotion that Tuberville was holding back, and it was really over 400 of them, but he's still holding back 11 four-star flag officers and every civilian appointment in the Defense Department, many of them having to do with the Middle East and Asia, quite frankly, that are vital to present interests. And this basically white supremacist Confederate sympathizer is continuing to do it. The Senate, and this is the Republicans because they didn't filibuster this. Normally, they would filibuster something like this. Said just passed a bill that gives retroactive pay increases to all military members who were impacted by Tuberville. In other words, he started this back in February of this year. It's been, 10 months. Guys held it up. These people should have had their promotions last February, over 400 of them. Now, and because of Tuberville, they lost that higher pay for their next promotional step for 10 months. So Senate passed a bill, and it had unanimous consent. Tuberville didn't dare to oppose this. He tried to put his name on it even. And that means that all these folks who got promoted will also get 10 months worth of the differential with the higher pay, which is only the right thing to do. I'm on the executive board of the Navy League of Milwaukee. I am their judge advocate, they call it. That's the board position that gives legal advice and that kind of thing. I was talking at the dinner with an admiral, and a very good guy, 3-star admiral, retired. And I said this about him, and he shook his head, and he said, I think what the Senate's going to have to do, because I said these 4-star promotions are vital. We need a commanding officer of the Third Fleet of the Pacific. We need a commanding officer of the Air Command in the Pacific. We need a commanding officer for the North American Command. That's us. That's us. You know, if there's a missile launched against us, how do you respond? When do you respond? I want a 4-star in there. I want a 4-star in there to advise the Secretary of Defense, to advise the President. And it goes on and on. The cyber command, we've been hacked all the time. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. Tuberville is really doing the work of someone from about the 1860s who'd like to destroy the Union. That's what he's doing. So the admiral said to me, he said, well, I think the workaround they're trying right now is that they will start taking up these 11 in the normal course. Now, Tuberville, we'll filibuster it. That takes 9 votes. The Republicans, believe it or not, will continue to side with Tuberville to seriously impact our military defense capability. And he thinks that what will happen is Schumer and then maybe a few people on the Republican side who understand the gravity of this, that what they're going to do is something like take them up one at a time. Doesn't require unanimous consent, but what Tuberville can do, Tuberville can get up in his hind legs and say he doesn't want it. Okay, he doesn't want it. But he has to stay up in his hind legs. So in the 1960s, during the civil rights, personal filibusters, they'd read Shakespeare, they'd read the Bible, they'd read Dr. Seuss, and they look ridiculous. One man can't do it alone. I don't know how many other people are complicit. Ron Johnson is on Tuberville's side, but does he have the guts to get up on his hind legs and try to read the Bible and to screw this thing up? I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have the guts to try to do it. He should not be in the Senate. And the admiral felt that we would start getting these things confirmed. But do you know the time it takes to horse around this kindergarten stuff, this middle school stuff, the time it takes? And I said to him, I said, well, admiral, that's great for the 11 four stars. But what happened, there's a heck of a lot more than 11 Defense Department people who are senior staff that are assigned to study certain areas of the world, including the Middle East, including Egypt, Israel, including Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey. What? Are we going to do this from now till next June and take up Senate time doing this? Or are 9 Republicans going to get up on their hind legs and say, you know, that isn't right. I think what we got to do is bust this filibuster and just confirm them all. Confirm them all. What I'd really like is if a single Democrat, get up on his hind legs and say, I move that we don't have unanimous consent or filibustering for military appointments or Department of Defense or Secretary of State appointments. That's it. You can keep the filibuster, unanimous consent. You can keep your velvet pants and wigs and perfume, you know, like the House of Lords, for everything else to goose up your status in the country club. That's okay. I don't like it, but that's okay. But for military, State Department, and Defense, we're not putting up with it anymore, and then vote on it. Dirty little secret. It only takes 51 votes. You can say, how is that possible? If they can filibuster for 60 votes, why does it take 51 votes only for the filibuster? And that is because the Senate rules can be changed by the majority. And even if there's a point of order, and even if they say courtesy, there's no courtesy. I feel no courtesy against Tuberville. I don't want Tuberville coming to Milwaukee next year. I don't want to see him walking down Wisconsin Avenue. I don't want to see him in a restaurant. He's an enemy of the United States. I don't want enemies of the United States in my town, our town. That's where I don't want them. But anyway, so is that going to happen? I don't see it anytime soon. It may be that Chuck Schumer thinks that he doesn't control cinema anymore because he's a, quote, independent. But Angus King is an independent. He's from Maine. Good man, and he would vote for it. You know, Bernie Sanders claims he's an independent. He's a good man. He'd vote for it. Manchin is, starting to bother me, some of the stuff he shoots off about, but I think when it comes to military, he would do it. I don't know about cinema, but if she wouldn't do it, and it ended up 50-50, and she voted on the other side, then definitely what could happen is Kamala Harris can come in and she can cast the deciding vote. But that has got to be done because we have 11 four stars and most of the, frankly, all of the civilian Department of Defense people who are dependent on Senate confirmation in limbo. And what that means is, you know, especially the four stars, they may be going across the country for the new assignment. And their kids are in school in some cases. Their wife has a job. Does she change? What do they do? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. What do you do? Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and there is a glimmer of hope on the foreign aid bill and the border bill this coming week.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. CBS News brief. A Washington, D.C. jury awards $148 million to Shea Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman, two former Georgia election workers falsely accused by Rudy Giuliani and others in the 2020 Trump campaign of voter fraud. They sued the former New York mayor turned Trump personal lawyer. This is Freeman.
Money will never solve all of my problems. I can never move back into the house that I called home.
But they did call it a good day after the huge damage verdict against Giuliani. In the Mideast war, a deadly mistake as Israeli troops shot three Hamas hostages to death in Gaza City. 2 years in prison for the for felony child neglect for the mother of that six-year-old who shot his teacher.
Deja Taylor pleaded guilty to the charge and apologized to the teacher. Her son told investigators he took the gun from his mother's purse. The teacher is suing the school district for $40 million.
Correspondent Nora O'Donnell, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrence Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight. There could be a little drizzle at times and lows close to 40. More clouds for tomorrow. Some rain developing in the afternoon. Highs to the mid-40s. And a mostly cloudy day for Sunday. Again in the mid-40s. A few rain and snow showers Sunday night. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearth would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/Lofi's Bread.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Miami, Wisco Paul.
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I have some facts, but I'm driving up north right now, so I don't have them in front of me. But yesterday afternoon and last night, polls came out showing Biden behind Trump, yet it scares me, in the swing states. And the other thing is favorability rate for Biden is down where Jimmy Carter's was, like 33%. And that also scares the heck out of me, because he should be beating Trump in every category for everything he's done, especially for seniors and infrastructure, all this great stuff that's happening. It just freaks me out a little bit to think. I know we're like 11 months out here, and you shouldn't get too excited, but even so, I mean, I don't understand this Trump-a-mania thing. Today they were talking, well, I read another article today. I hope I get this right. There were secrets missing from the White House. I don't even know where they went. They figure they went to Russia when Trump had them in the White House. So, I mean, it's a cascade of stuff, Matt. And yet, I don't understand these polls unless they're out there polls. How Biden can be down in a swing state, not for everything he's done for the people of this country, and his favorability is down at Jimmy Carter stuff. So that's what I just want to mention today. Talk me off the cliff, if you will. I highly appreciate that, because I couldn't imagine 4 years of Trump, and I know Canada's not going to take us. So, all right, thanks, Matt.
Well, you know, thanks for calling. Stop off in Minocqua. There's a great little place there, and get a lunch. Here's the deal. Actually, get a dinner, I guess, now. Here's the deal. Relax. I'm going to tell you some historical perspectives and also something that's frankly flat out true right now. First of all, in most of the presidents whom you know in your lifetime, a year out, they were way behind their most prominent opponent. Obama was behind Romney by 8 points about this time out. Reagan was behind Mondale by a great deal. Jimmy Carter, you say his ratings, nobody was tougher than Harry Truman. His favorabilities were down to 25%. Guy was tough. He hung tough. He's a good president. So a year out, what happens is the incumbent, remember something, the incumbent is kind of the sin eater. This is the guy that everything's thrown at him. Biden now, but any president. Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, North Korea, China, Iran, everybody. Worldwide inflation, not the fault of anybody in the United States, having to do with a lot of forces. And in all of these, Joe Biden's been like Babe Ruth, swatted them right out of the park. Inflation right now, the last year is down to about 3.1%. And it is light years
broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Just in Biden's, if you add Obama and Clinton, 33 million in the two of theirs, and Biden still just has 1 year to go. But if you add up both Bushes, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and Trump, about 1.9 million. So if you like working, you like a paycheck, you like all the stuff. I do quite a bit. Biden is the guy. Trump was going to take us out of NATO. Fortunately, the National Defense Authorization Act stops that. He can't take us out of NATO if, God forbid, he ever gets back in. But he sucked up to Putin, betrayed us to Putin. He was weak with China. He was a bad president and a dishonest president. But he is only in the headlines when he shoots his mouth off at a rally. He has no responsibility, none whatsoever, for any of this stuff. When that happens, one guy is the sin eater. He's the Babe Ruth, has to hit every ball out of the park. The other guy's warming up and stretching, flirting with the crowd. What do you think is going to happen? It happened with Obama. It happened with Reagan, and they won big. So relax. We have the best possible president for the time, the most experienced in foreign policy, the most experienced in handling the Senate, the Congress, pushed through hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure with a hostile Congress. Hostile Congress and the CHIPS Act. He is the guy that we need. And stand proud and tall. He is going to win. Ken Bob, my friend, you're on the line. I'm going to you. The letters are too small. Is it Daisyville or Dairyville, wherever you're from? Welcome to Civic Media. What's on your mind today?
It's Dailyville, and thanks for having me on, Matt. I love your show. Just a quick word about why I think that Biden is going to start doing a lot better soon. Of course, once we got done, came out of COVID, we had inflation kick up, interest rates went up, my stock market stuff went flat. And basically, I had no earnings on that for 2 years. I just got my latest statement. My contra fund's up 25% this year. So this now we've pretty much conquered inflation. The market knows that they're not going to be jacking the interest rates anymore. We're not going to be dropping banks anymore. And we're going to start seeing a boom in the stock market. And a whole lot of people are going to be a lot more cheerful. And so that's all I got.
That's a lot. That is a mouthful. That's excellent. Be sure to call in the future. And what we're going to do is we're going to alter our graphics on the screen so that I can read the town you guys are from. But excellent call. And yeah, let me point out something. And you just pointed out yourself. The stock market the other day hit an all-time high, 37,090. I remember back in the 70s, from the Vietnam War till 1980, it stayed at 1,000 or under 1,000 for 10 years. That's why you should diversify, absolutely diversify. And that is why you should be cautious. You know, don't just trade lightly. You buy good stocks, buy mutual funds, buy index funds. An index fund for large caps, an index fund for small caps, and maybe one for foreign, and maybe one for bonds. And don't read a newspaper for 5 years. Tell you another funny story before we quick go back. Fidelity, which is one of the big ones, did a study, and they found that the following two investors did the best of all of their investors, did the best percentage-wise of all their investors. They were investors who had died, and their account just lay there, and nobody knew they were there. And number two, investors who never traded. They put their money in, or if they put new money in, it was proportionate to their selection before, and they didn't read a newspaper. In other words, there's an old adage in acting. A good director will go up on the stage, and he'll say to the actor, don't just do something, stand there. Don't just do something, stand there. The best actors don't wave opera arms around. They're authentic. And the best investors are either dead or they don't read a newspaper. That's for me. I'm not a professional. I understand it. But what you just said was right on the money, right on the money. And I couldn't agree with you more. Start out by saying, well, we have one more call here. We have Gary of Sussex. Gary has identified himself in the past as a principal conservative. Principal conservatives are welcome to call with their opinions, even though I frequently, but not always, disagree with them. So, Gary, what's on your mind today?
Well, you were talking about Biden's foreign decisions. When Robert Gates admits, and he doubled down on it, that when he was, he said that Biden has been wrong on foreign affairs for not just one or two, but for decades. So how do you explain that? I'm just telling you what I read.
Yeah, I don't think Robert Gates said that, Gary. So when you call stuff in like that, tell me your source. I don't want to hear on the internet. I don't want to hear what Russia or Iran, China putting in disinformation. What is your source, Gary?
Well, I just read on the internet, and I'm just telling you what I read. I'm not saying every time I'm ever on the air. Wait, Matt, every time I'm on the air, I'm giving you my opinion or things that I read. Never, nothing is ever fact unless I'm actually in the room talking to Robert Gates myself.
Okay.
You know,
let me just, I'm going to leave you with this, Gary. I appreciate your calls, and your opinions are always welcome. In other words, no subject is off limits, and your opinions are welcome. The internet is full of people who are foreigners posing as Americans, and they put on crooked disinformation. One of them is Russia, another is China, another is Iran, and another is North Korea. And they will put this stuff on that's absolutely false. Nobody like that ever said anything like that about Biden. He had stellar reputation in foreign policy for 50 years. To say that the most experienced guy in the foreign policy, what, we're sending arms to Ukraine. You think that that's a bad decision? Gates doesn't think that, believe me. You think standing up to Russia and building NATO was a bad decision? Gates didn't say that, but Russia put that on, probably Russia, could be China. So feel free to call. But if it's opinion, please be sure that you tell me it's opinion. If it's fact, give me your source. And if the internet, that's not a source. Might as well come from the Politburo. John of Boaz, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, John?
Hey, Matt. Let's go back in history to find the facts concerning our government. The fact I'm trying to tell you is the Greek philosopher Plato said three things. The truth is number one. The man or woman's character is number two. And number three is governance, how to make the streets run, how to turn the lights on when you want to go, and how to collect taxes. That's all.
Okay. No,
back to
you. That's good. No. And what you're getting at is you're right. The truth is number one. Plato said a lot more than that. Okay. Plato, read The Republic. Maybe you did read The Republic. It's a great, great book. But yeah, he said, truth is number one. And just a word to the wise. There's a lot of disinformation on the internet, a lot of it. And they feed it to the left and the right. And it's China, Russia, Iran, North Korea doing this stuff. They feed it to the left and the right. So they'll say stuff to left websites that we're all looking at that would just make your blood boil, but they're false. And then they feed stuff to the right, which is what Gary had read, which are false, and they get all worked up. Here's a rule of thumb. I don't believe anything on the internet, anything at all, unless it's something posted or emailed from somebody I know and respect. And even then, if he's only reposting something, he could have gotten hoodwinked too. I read newspapers. I read the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times on paper every day. Every day. And I do my own reading. I watch a whole variety of things, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, to see what they're all up to. And everybody's gilding the lily a little bit, and I get it. I get it. And what you're getting from me is my personal, I think, informed ideas, all opinions, although occasionally I'll recite facts which are incontrovertible. So I do like that, John of Boaz. Thank you very much. The truth is what is important. Well, we're not going to get in right now. Right now, I want to tease this. Schumer is setting a foreign aid bill with border protections this week, this coming week. And he's kept the Senate in over the weekend. They want to run off. They got to stay. They're going to be there on Monday talking about it. There's the slightest glimmer of possibility. We'll get into that a little more. And then coming up, I will not believe what Elise Stefanik did. She is the designated troublemaker for the MAGA right, coming up.
My mind from wandering where it will go, where it will go. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I won't back down.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to go forward a little bit with the bill coming up next week. Schumer is not going to put something on the floor, in my opinion, frivolously. He has got to, I think, be reasonably sure if he does that, that there'll be 9 Republican votes to bust the filibuster. Remember something, the National Defense Authorization Act passed 87-13. It passed in the House by 300 and some odd, you know, well over 300 votes to 1-something. You know, there is clearly a bipartisan, moderate urge to govern. Center right, center left, they'll fight on stuff. Not everybody liked what was in the NDAA on either side. So what? The job got done. The idea is to harness that, and each of them are fighting with one hand behind their back, because in the Senate, you have unanimous consent and filibuster, and as long as 9 Republicans side with the Tubervilles, the nation is badly hurt. But on the Republican side in the House, they bullied Kevin McCarthy into agreeing to a rules change that any one nut, any one sociopath like Gates could say the chair is vacant, they had a vote again, and then the other party always votes against them, and all it takes is 3, 4, 5 sociopaths and they have a vacant chair. That's got to stop. Last time when McCarthy went down, if 8 Democrats had voted for him, he would have stayed in. And they were prepared to do it. Because remember something, he was actually the one who had put together a poison pill free funding of the government through November, or halfway through November. But he shot his mouth off and he attacked Democrats, and people were untrustworthy. Didn't think that he would do it again. And then we had Emmer of Minnesota, who was a fairly reasonable guy. And, you know, the Gateses and a handful of sociopaths in the MAGA right torpedoed him until they got this guy, Mike Johnson, who doesn't believe in separation of church and state, claims he has no bank account, is slippery as an eel, and he's 2 heartbeats away from the presidency. But he has shown to be Machiavellian even against his own party, even against his own party. Why do I say that? When the NDA came up, there's 3,000 pages. Nobody read it. They didn't read 3,000 pages. It's like reading War and Peace 3 times. They didn't do it. Their staff didn't do it. They're all lazy as hell. They all went out drinking and out to eat and chortling. And a lot of stuff got snuck in there, like not letting a president take us out of NATO. But there were no poison pills in there. None of this Tuberville business about abortion policy and all that. And that somehow got past the MAGA sociopaths. Now, I'm sure they read about it in the paper, but they did not have the guts to declare the chair vacant. And that sentiment, that bipartisan governing sentiment between the Senate and the House, Democrat and Republican, should yield an 87-13 vote on foreign aid and border security, and it should yield a 350 to 140, whatever it is, no, 350 to 90 or something, House vote. If it can do it for the NDAA, it can do it for foreign policy, and it can do it for the border. It can do it for everything else. That means giving up something. That means, for instance, Republicans giving up poison pills. That means, for instance, the Democrats have got to come to a realization. The border right now is not under control. And they are going to have to agree to limitations in the whole process of asylum. If somebody really needs asylum, which means that they are being persecuted for their religion or race, fine, but they're not. These are economic refugees, and there's going to have to be some accommodation, either that they have to apply for refuge somewhere else in the country they go through, or that they have to stay away, either in Mexico or in their home country, and go down to the embassy or consulate and put in for a visa. But you cannot continue to have people just pour across the border. Like John Fetterman, we're going to be talking about him. He's a guy I actually respect an awful lot. He said, look, I'm not a progressive. The progressives, if you take a look at it, many of them are anti-Semitic. I'm talking about the squad in particular. They're anti-Israel. Fetterman stands proud and tall for Israel, as do I, and as does Biden. And yeah, there are differences, and we are the differences. But fundamentally, there is no, absolutely no compromise with the people that want to destroy Israel, period, end of story. Secondly, you know, Fetterman made the point, you know, you have 270,000 people at the border pouring across. That's the population of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's second largest city in Pennsylvania. All the time, you know. So we got to get that under control. And there are people coming across the border who came from China, came from Iran, came from Iraq and Syria. Some of them are on the terror list. We catch them. We don't catch everybody. This has got to be tightened. This is an opportunity, and it's good for both parties. It's good for Biden, but it's good for America. It's good for America. And Fetterman made that very, very good point. And I think it's a new wave. It's a new look for the Democratic Party. And he is the wave of it. He's a guy, by the way, that I think is Lincoln-esque. I mean, he is in stature, for one thing. In fact, in resemblance somewhat. Yeah. I think Fetterman's 6'7", about 6'7". Lincoln was, I think, 6'4". Now, 6'4", in 1860, was many inches taller now, because everybody back there was short as heck compared to the way we are now. They really were. They were extremely short. George Washington, I think, was 6'4", and that's hugely bigger than people around him. They were much smaller than we are. They didn't eat as well, and of course, there wasn't modern medicine and everything else, nutrition and all that. But Fetterman stands tall. And he is very much of an unreconstructed traditional Democrat, a Kennedy Democrat, you know, Clinton Democrat, Biden Democrat, but he's not putting up with any baloney. So in this bill, we're going to get it across, the accommodations, there can be no poison pills on Ukraine and Israel, but there can be poison pills from our side on immigration. This thing is not under control. It's got to be brought under control. And Biden's the guy to do it, and he's going to have to get involved, and I think he will get involved. So stay tuned. I'm not saying it's definitely going to pass. It could pass the Senate. The House has flown the coop. They're all lazy as hell. Many of them won't come back, and they're untrustworthy. Many of them are quite untrustworthy. Okay, coming up. A lot of news, a lot of weather, and there was an allusion to a missing black binder. It's much more serious than you
will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.